Welcome to Ask the Pastor. The question today is, what was Paul's thorn in the flesh? Of course, that's written in second, and this is the second part, by the way, but it's written in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 7. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Paul said that he was given a thorn in the flesh here, for the main reason was that he'd be exalted above measure. Twice it talked about that he might be lifted up with pride, and that thorn was given to keep him humble before the holy, for the Lord and for the people he was dealing with. Now, you realize he said lest he be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. Paul had many revelations on the road to Damascus. The Lord Jesus revealed himself to him, and where he met the qualifications, Paul did, as one born out of due time to be an apostle. He met the resurrected Lord that day, and he wasn't saved there. He was saved 3 days later on the street called Straight. Read that, Acts 22:16. Tells us very plain, there's where he called on the name of the Lord, on the street called Straight. But he had a revelation. And that was an abundant revelation, but that's not the revelation he's talking about here. He also had a revelation of the gospel that was given to him by God, not by man, Galatians said. But that's about the revelation of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and he was proclaimed it. Didn't hear it from the apostles, didn't hear it from other men. God gave it to him. What a revelation that was. But that's not the revelation he's talking about here in verse 7. Then he also was given, as God breathed him, 14 books of the Bible. I believe he wrote Hebrews as well as the other 13 that's attributed to him. But I believe he wrote Hebrews as well. So each one within itself was a great revelation, an abundant revelation. And God breathed them to him to write them down. So you look at those 16 revelations that we just spoke about, and yet he had other visions and other revelations that you can find that where he had, but still, that's not the revelations that he's talking about here in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 12. The revelation he's talking about is what he just mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 1 and 2, where he knew a man that was caught up in really out of the body. He said, I know not. I think this is at the time he was left dead on the side of the road at Lystra when he was stoned to death. Thought they stoned him to death anyway, but he was caught up to the third heaven, and that's the throne of God. That's where God dwells, and then he quoted again verse 3 and 4, and said almost the same thing, except he inserted paradise instead of the third heaven, and that was of course we know that paradise used to be in the heart of the earth, but Jesus led captivity captive when he resurrected, and now paradise is in the third heaven, correlated, or at least proof text right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. But Paul said he was caught up into the paradise, verse 4, and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. In other words, he had great revelations, and God wouldn't let him tell what he saw on the other side. Let me insert here, if a person, we have people today who say they died and went to heaven, they saw lights, they saw a great light, they saw this and they saw that, and they come back and tell it. I want to tell you something. If God wouldn't let Paul tell it, what was there, he wouldn't let man tell it today. Most of those people who have those revelations, so-called, and it is real. It's a revelation, but really it's demonic instead of God because it doesn't match the Scripture, and they are locked in to some kind of that experience, believing they're going to go to heaven, when their doctrine doesn't even match what the Word of God says is necessary for salvation. Every time you find out, many of them not even in church. And that's not the revelation from God. They've been deceived and they'll die and go to hell. But anyway, Paul said to keep from being exalted above measure, God gave him. And that's what the Greek construction here in verse 7 said. There was given to me, and God gave him a thorn in the flesh. It wasn't a rose bush. It wasn't his eyesight. It wasn't some kind of physical problem. I said before that I used to say that it was probably a fiery dart of the devil that caused him to be tempted, and because he was a man and he wasn't married, and he would be tempted in that area. Temptation is not sin, but Paul said he buffeted his body to keep from being yielding to that temptation. And so, therefore, it wasn't that thorn in the flesh, even though I thought that for years. But after studying the verse, I realized that here talking about an angelos, an angel, which refers to a person or an angel that's been personified when they meet here with people on the earth, if you please. But there was given that message of Satan to buffet me. Now, really what it boils down to, this thorn is not some piece of rose bush or a little prickly thorn. The word is a stake. It's a piece of wood sharpened on one end, by which, of course, men were impaled in the old in bygone days, in the New Testament church age. They were impaled on a stake beside the road. And that's the word that's used here. In other words, Paul was thrust through with this stake. The stake was a messenger of Satan, which was, I believe, the false teachers that went to Corinth and was leading people astray, causing Corinth to turn on Paul for that he was being hurt. Paul had spent much time with those people, and they'd turned on him. He was devastated. In fact, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4, I just want to read you the condition that Paul was in at this particular time. I said yesterday I'd try to get to this, and I almost forgot it. But Paul said in verse 8 of chapter 4, 2 Corinthians, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. In other words, he wasn't about to throw in the towel and quit, but he was at a low ebb in time. He was devastated, but yet God said, I gave you that to keep you humble, so that you wouldn't be exalted above measure. Now, false teachers are always led by demons, and so I now believe that Paul is talking about the demonic leadership of the Corinthian false teachers that were there. You can go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. It said, for such are apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. In other words, that he identifies these false teachers. They're called false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as sent by Christ. Apostle is one who's sent, but yet they disguise themselves as being sent by Christ, and no wonder, for even Satan, he said, disguises himself as an angel or a messenger of light. So there are these false teachers that disguised as messengers of light, messengers of truth, but instead they're motivated by and driven by Satan and demons, thus they're messengers of Satan. Paul didn't mention any name here of who they might have been, but one commentary said it might have been Alexander and Hymenaeus that's mentioned in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 through 20. Now, I don't know. I'm not going to read that. You can look that up later, but I don't know who they were. Paul didn't mention them by name, but they were inspired by demonic forces, messengers of Satan, if you please, given by God to buffet him. The word buffet, in the word in the Greek, means to torment. It's used in Matthew chapter 26, verse number 67. Matthew 26, verse 67 here. And talking about Jesus on the cross, and they spit upon in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hand. The word buffeted there, in other words, is used of the soldiers beating Christ in the face with their fist. The root word for that is buffet is derived from a Greek term meaning knuckles, the hardest part of the hand that can deliver the most devastating blow. Now, why did God allow this to come upon Paul? He said, to keep me from exalting myself. You see, it has a humbling purpose when God allows the thorn in his flesh and anyone else's flesh in that sense. Paul wanted some relief from this thorn because he said in verse number 8, for this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. But instead of removing the thorn, God said in 2 Corinthians 9, verse part of that verse, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient. You see, no matter what you're going through, God's grace is sufficient. If somebody said, well, his grace was sufficient, and that's true, but it's not in the past, it's ever present now. It will be sufficient, it has been sufficient, but it is sufficient, he said, for whatever we face, whatever God allows to come our way. So Paul learned the lesson God intended for him to learn, because he said, after he said, my grace is sufficient, He said, for Paul made this statement, "For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I am strong." The Lord let the messenger of Satan go after Paul in the end to humble him and make him even more useful. May we learn the lesson, if you please. May we learn that lesson. God wants us to learn when things come our way to humble us and listen to God say, "My grace is sufficient." So, to recap this in a moment, just a moment, what is the thorn in the flesh? The question for today and yesterday. The thorn in the flesh wasn't something physical. It wasn't some rosebud that pricked him. It was a stake driven through him that God allowed the messenger of Satan, false teachers, to come. And he allowed the church of Corinth to be in a devastated time, and Paul to be really devastated and depressed and low, but yet he wasn't going to quit. He wasn't going to throw in the towel. But he did that because he loved Paul. He loved his human instrument that was there. And sometimes we may not understand exactly why God allows things to happen in our life, but I want to tell you, he's got a purpose for it. So he may allow a thorn come into our flesh that we might not be exalted above measure because of what God showed us, of what he's taught us, and the things of God. Listen, we're nothing. We're nobody. Paul said, "I've not yet apprehended," in the book of Philippians. "I've not yet arrived. But one thing I do, I forget those things that's behind." Now, you can't forget like God forgets, but he forgot them in the sense he didn't let them influence him or persuade him. And he said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Listen, it'd be a good thing if we could get to that place where we just move toward the goal that God has for us and be like God have us to be. And while we're standing for God and doing what's right, God's going to allow certain things to come our way to keep us humble before him. And it's all for his purpose. But we want to say, we won't get rid of it. Paul did. But God said, "My grace is sufficient." And it's ever present now is. So what is a thorn in the flesh? I believe in Paul's case, there was a messenger of Satan, a demonic inspired false teacher, to lead people astray and cause them to turn on Paul. And Paul's heart was broken to the core because he had spent much time with those people in Corinth. But God said, "My grace is sufficient." This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you. Until we meet again on the air or in the air, may the good Lord bless you, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.